just been thinking, and I mentioned it, I think, last time I gave my testimony of how God worked in our family and just what has been done, thinking of when Dad was saved. I think it was about 4 years of witnessing to my dad by Christians before he was even saved. That seems like a long time. And then it was an additional 4 years after my dad was saved until I think anyone else in our family was saved and until we left the Amish. So 8 years. And, you know, someone looking on might seem like, is it really worth it? Are they ever going to get to a point where they will be saved? But we know that it was, and God is able and willing to save, even if it takes a long time. And so sometimes he works in ways that we do not understand, and sometimes he works when we think he is not working. So that should be an encouragement to all of us to never give up in sharing the gospel with others and living a life before others that they can see the gospel and that they need to be saved. So, of course, I grew up Amish and learned all about how you get to heaven by doing good things and just by being a good person, and how you are to follow these rules and these standards, and hopefully you will get to heaven. You know, I learned all these things from very young. You know, we often talk about Christians, children who, you know, learn the gospel, and they hear the gospel every Sunday, and they have, you know, the gospel is in their mind. Well, for us, it was a little different. It was ingrained in our mind. Every other Sunday, we would hear the preaching of how you have to be good. You have to do good in order to go to heaven. And we would hear, I remember hearing preaching about the Old Testament and Joseph. Joseph was one of my favorite characters. And they would go through the entire Old Testament, David and Goliath, and all those. We learned all these Bible stories, but it was very different than what you learn here. It was about how what we have to do, how you have to live, but that never really brought peace or satisfaction. And of course, I thought I would just have to try really hard, and I would be fine until I'm baptized. You know, I might do a little, you know, a few bad things, but I'm okay until, you know, I'm like that. What is it, 15, 16, and then, you know, you have to be careful what you do, and then you get baptized into the church, and then you're good again, right? Well, I was kind of looking forward to being baptized and, you know, coming to the church and being part of that, because it would give me, as I thought, some kind of peace and satisfaction that I was a part of something, and, you know, I was now doing something that I would have a surer hope of being in heaven. We grew up on a farm. I was thinking about 80 acres, and we had beef cattle and lots of horses and lots of work to do. We were always busy. Dad had a leather shop, so, you know, before we went to school, sometimes we'd be out helping the shop before we'd head off to school, come back home, and there would be chores to do and lawn to mow and all kinds of work to be doing. But we worked hard, but we also had a lot of fun ice skating and sledding and all this. You know, it was a great life growing up on a farm. I remember one time when I was sick. I think I had an earache, and I was in a lot of pain. I think it was downstairs. Mom was taking care of me, and Dad had to go. There was a fire or something, and he took the horse and went riding out. And I just remember I kind of was in a, I don't know, delirium or something, and I remember kind of dreaming of Dad riding, and there was fire all around, and I just remember it kind of scared me. I was kind of afraid that, yeah, if Dad was going to be okay, and I just kind of remember it scaring me a little bit, like what was going to happen. I know you can't really imagine, but I was a little bit of a brat growing up, and Henry used to, I remember one time I was being really annoying, and he told me very plainly that I have an attitude problem. And I was like, huh? So? I remember one time we were at school, and the older boys were seeing how far they could throw a rock, and there's a little trailer house that the hunters use right across the road, and they could throw it right over it, and it's like, ah, I can do that too. So I threw as hard as I could, and it didn't quite make the mark, but it found something else, which is a window. And I kept it secret for a while. One time the guys came by, and all of us schoolboys were out by the fence, and one of the guys came over and was like, "Do you know who broke that window?" We were all like, and then we kind of walked away, and I was like, "It was me." And anyway, I ended up telling my dad, and we went down, and I think he ended up paying for it, and made me feel a little bit better once I confessed it. But that's kind of how it was. You do something bad, and then you confess, and you try to make it right, and like, okay, now I feel better about it now, right? Well, during this time, the Hollies were up the road, and they were witnessing to my dad. My dad was saved in, I think, 2005. And things changed a little bit. We started having devotions in the morning. I remember that, you know, it was... I remember hearing more about spiritual things. And specifically, I remember a lot about riding in the van when we go on trips and hearing all these songs, you know, good gospel songs that we sing today. Especially, I remember the one gospel message on there about the green lily, and it kind of scared me a little bit. I remember the verse that was quoted. I should have looked it up. I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth, though he were dead, yet he shall live, something like that. And I was like, man, that's really confusing, but it sounds really good. I don't know what it is. But, it, you know, I still didn't really think a lot about it, but started being exposed to the gospel. That would have been 2005. We ended up moving to Virginia in 2006. And down here, they would read from the English Bible. Definitely a lot more light, a lot more knowledge of the truth, but still, they were still trying to get to heaven on what they're doing. You still had to keep the rules. You still had to do all these things. So that was a bit confusing. I remember when, I'm not sure who it was, Henry Rubin maybe, or maybe just Henry baptized, or they came into the church, or maybe someone else was getting baptized. But I remember thinking, wow, I can't wait for that day. Then, you know, then I'll be ready for heaven. I didn't think of it in that way, but that's really what I was thinking. It's like, okay, you know, if I can just get there, then I'll be okay. If I can just do that. But it's still what I was doing. It's still in, you know, in me, what I can do for God. I remember riding in the buggy one time, and I think Daniel and Eli were with me, and one of them asked, what is the end like? You know, is the world just going to burn up with fire or something? And I had some kind of explanation with it. Yeah, it's just, you know, at the end, everything's just going to burn up. Yeah, that's really the only thing I knew of the end times. But I didn't. It kind of scared me, made me think a little bit, you know, what is it really going to be like? And am I going to be ready when that day comes? And then there was a Motoka conference we went to, and was really a life-changing point in our family. We heard the gospel very clearly. Especially Sunday night, I remember sitting in the front row, about over here, and several of my brothers were sitting around me, and I knew the preacher was talking to them, and there's just no way he could be talking to me. There's just no way that I am the one going to hell. There's just no way that it would be me that's so bad that Christ had to come and die on the cross for. But for some reason, I did not like being there. I was very, it's like I wanted to disappear. I wanted a hole to open up, and I wanted to get out of there. It was very uncomfortable. And then the week after Jonas was saved, when they had the meeting with the two Davids, and that really convicted me when he was saved, because I thought I was just okay. I was fine. I didn't need this. And if I wasn't, then I'd just go to the verse that told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Okay, I believe, I'm saved. Why is it that difficult? Why do we have to, you know? But when Jonas was saved, I said, okay, well, he wasn't just okay. and I'm pretty much same as where he was, that makes me not okay either. And it just kind of scared me. I remember one time we talked about being saved as a family. I don't know if it was around the breakfast table or something. We were talking, I think, about who was saved and who wasn't. And I was like, wait, you can't just say I'm not saved or I am. Like, it was coming down to a very defining, you're either saved or you're not saved. And I didn't like that because it really put the pressure on, like, you have to choose one or the other. And when I was saved, that's where I came to in the verse we read there in John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth not. There's only one or the other. You can't be halfway in between. So I was kind of confused because really, I didn't want to admit my need. I didn't want to admit that I wasn't saved. And I tried really hard to believe. I tried really hard to do something, but I didn't really know what to do. I tried reading, and I couldn't really find something that I understood. I remember reading through 1 Corinthians and some of the stuff, just it didn't make sense. Like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on here. I remember feeding the fish out at the pond. I would go out and, like, twice a day, there was a lot of fish out there in the pond down the lane from my parents, and I'd have my little New Testament pocket Bible, and I'd pull it out, and I'd be reading as I walked around it. I just remember it was just a very cloudy time, a lot of confusion. And there was a baptism coming up. Dad and Henry and Reuben and I think Jonas were planning to be baptized. And it was kind of coming down to, you know, I would like to be baptized too, but I have to know I'm saved. And how is this going to look if, you know, if they're getting baptized, that's going to, you know, everyone's going to know I'm not saved. This is, you know, it was kind of scaring me. So I called David Peterson on the phone. Well, I went down to the phone shack that we had like 100 yards down the road, and our neighbor was in there, and I let him know I was there. About an hour later, after it was dark, he's like, oh, you're still out there? I'm like, yep, I'm still out here, just waiting. So he got off the phone, I got in there and called David, and I wanted reassurance that I was saved, because I knew the verse, he that believeth on the Son, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I was like, if that's all I need, then that's what I've got. You know, I'm good with that. If that's it, then okay. But he started taking me to these verses, Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And he told me there's two parts in that verse, he that believeth and he that believeth not. The person who believes has everlasting life. He that does not believe, not going to see life, and the wrath of God is abiding on him. It's like it's over him. I was like, oh my, that's scary. And at that point, I knew I had to admit where I was. And that's when I came to the realization that the wrath of God was abiding on me. And that's a terrible place to be in. To know that you deserve hell. To know that what you have done, your sins, are between you and God. So I went into the house and climbed up in the top of the bunk bed, having a little flashlight, trying not to wake anyone else up. Got my little Bible out and read the verses over again. Of course, I was still trying. It's like, okay, now I know I'm not saved. Now I know exactly what to do. I have to believe. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to believe. Do you think that worked? No, it didn't. I still couldn't do it. That's when I realized that I can't. It's what Christ did when he died on the cross. He already did it. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I need to do because Christ died for my sins. He did everything. I gave up and saw it was not of my merit. It was because of what Christ did when he died on the cross. And I got peace when I understood that my righteousness was only in Christ. There's no more trying to be justified. I think will has a lot to do with it. not my will, but thine be done, right? We are very willful creatures. We want to say, you know, it's how I want to do it. It's how I want something. But when we are saved, we have to give up our will and say, no, it's not what I can do. It's nothing that I can do. It's only what he has done. We have to come in repentance and see how we stand before God, that all of our righteousness, our good things that we do, God does not count those. God says all the good things we try to do, those are not good before him, because we are tainted by sin. We are sinners. We have to realize that there's nothing we can do. It's only what Christ did for us. I think it was 3 days after that, I also got baptized. My mom was saved the same night I was saved. So there were 6 of us getting baptized down in the creek. And we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. It was an amazing few days as we saw what God was doing in our lives. He changed us and took us from darkness to light. And it was manifest in our lives that what he did for us. There's a few verses I found when I was giving my testimony at the baptism. And it still means a lot to me. And it kind of describes what I felt when I was saved. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust the Lord. It's like being taken out of a slippery place, out of a pit, out of a miry clay, and being set upon a rock. You can actually stand upon a rock. And clay and mire, you just sink. But when you're saved, you're given that firm foundation, which is Christ. It's done. It's been completed. You need only to trust in what he has done for us. Shall we pray?